Hello, my Crystal Loves Texas family. Thank you for being so patient today. Thank you for waiting for us, because for those of you who are in Houston, you know it is rodeo season. And let me say this, the rodeo is literally about 600 yards from our studio. So you can just imagine how it was trying to get in here today. But thank you guys for being patient. Thank you for waiting. I am here today with my sister, Kim Dillard.
Hi.
And Kim is Rebecca's not here today, but Kim is one of those ones who has been encouraging us to sound off on what we're talking about today from the very, very beginning.
Yes.
My special guest in the studio tonight is Miss Michelle Williams. And you probably recognize this face if you've been watching any TV, especially Channel 13, anytime in the last few days. Michelle is one of the Houston teacher union leaders who has been in the news amidst all of the chaos that's going on right now within the Houston Independent School District. And I'm a former Houston Independent School District teacher. And I'm going to say this, and I always say this because I want to make this disclaimer. I absolutely, probably like Michelle, love my district. I love the district I work for. I'm not satisfied with what I see going on in the district now. I want to make that disclaimer, because I've only taught in HISD and we have had our challenges, but we've always been able to rock through those challenges and get done what we need to get done. And we have been on a growing path, but we've had a lot of changes of late, and we're going to talk about that today. And I want Michelle to chime in, because Michelle has really been on the receiving end of a lot of the extra
vitriol.
Yes,
that's a good word.
Yes, the extra vitriol that has been tossed towards teachers and administrators, and it's not just the teachers anymore. Am I right, Michelle?
No, it's not just teachers. It's administrators and assistant principals.
That's right. So without any further ado, can you please introduce yourself to us, Ms. Michelle Williams, and tell us about who you are and what your position is, and with the union and within the school district, and how long you've been in the classroom.
Hi, and Crystal, thank you for having me this evening. My name is Michelle Williams. I am the president of the Houston Education Association. We are an affiliate of the Texas State Teachers Association and the National Education Association. I am also a teacher at Shadowbriar Elementary, which everybody knows now.
Yes.
I'm a third grade teacher, and this is my 24th year in education. And I've been teaching in HISD over 10 years. I don't know how many years, because I left and came back, and HISD is home to me. And I started out in HISD as a first year teacher, coming from the state of Florida.
Okay. Michelle, before we get started, can you kind of give us just the Reader's Digest condensed version of what your last 2 weeks have been like? And for those people who are watching who are not really sure of what's going on, kind of give us a little bit of a background story there.
So I have been, as you know, the media has said, one of the critics of what's going on in HISD. As a teacher, and I've had my principal certificate. I let it expire because that is not the route that I wanted to go. I've been a master teacher, instructional coach. I've done curriculum writing. I just have done a lot of different things throughout my career.
Yes.
And when, you know, the takeover happened, you know, I was like, okay, HISD did have issues.
Absolutely.
And I'll never say that they didn't.
Right.
But the issues at the end of the day were not teacher issues. We had campus leadership issues because of what's taking place right now. It's the same thing. Superintendents came in with their own agendas, moved administrators and brought in their own people, which is currently taking place again. It's the same thing. And I have been one of those vocal critics of the NES system and what's taking place and how it's done. It's a dehumanizing process that is taking place in HISD. And I'm not saying every person is doing right by children and the profession.
Yes.
However, I'm saying even though some things and the person may not be right for that position, they need to be treated fairly. And that's where I come from. Even prisoners need to be treated fairly.
That's right.
And it's not just teachers that are being dehumanized, it's administrators, and it's also children. I've been working with some of the Madison parents and some of their community people, and the things that are happening, I've never seen at this magnitude. Children being put out of school without paperwork. And what do you think these children are going to do?
Absolutely.
So, you know, those are some of the issues that are taking place, and it's happening to minority students. And I tell people all the time, this is a community issue. And I know people are saying that, hey, you know, they're picking on it, and they are. And the reason why they chose HISD, first of all, because it's the largest. Secondly, it's urban. And thirdly, we did not have a lot of community backing. I have sat in countless school board members prior to Mr. Miles' arrival, where it might have been three people at those school board meetings. I think there are a lot of lessons to be learned.
Yes.
But they're going to be hard lessons. They are. And hopefully, as we move forward as a community, we can look back on here and say, hey, this is where we need to stay involved, because democracy demands it. And are the actual accountability for the board. Where I come in, I am one of the union leaders, and I feel like it is my responsibility to lead by example for teachers.
Yes.
And whatever comes with that, you know, some of the things that they've said I've done, that I'll be, cleared of it.
Right.
But it lets you know the dirty games that this administration is playing, because everything that they have put on paper is a lie. My evaluation came back proficient.
Absolutely.
And I've already proven that, as you see this background,
right,
I've already proven that
you're not
I don't have
classroom.
To live stream from my home. I mean, from the classroom. Seriously. So it's a lot of falsehoods that have been told. And I know it's a process, and I'll be cleared of them. But how do we move forward? And hopefully me taking a stand serves as an example for teachers who are deciding whether or not I stay silent, or do I bring awareness? Because we have a responsibility to protect our profession and stand up for what's right.
And, you know, Michelle, here's the thing. You know, a lot of people, I left the district in November, and I left for reasons that were personal reasons, but I'm one of the teachers who's never had a write-up in my career. I've never had an evaluation that was less than proficient in my career. I've never been called in to a principal's meeting for disciplinary actions in my career. And that's in 17 years. Okay. So, but I left on my own. But let me say this. One of the reasons that that I knew that the time, you know, other situations presented themselves, but I knew that the time was right, was because when something fails to reconcile with your own integrity, when it fails to reconcile with your integrity. How long do you turn a blind eye? Let me tell you some of the things that I witnessed myself. These are the things that I witnessed myself. When we initially came in to school last year, before the start of school, well, you know, Michelle, that it was stated that we would not, on our contract, we were not supposed to start school until August the 14th. Okay. Wow. However, we got a letter a week before saying that you must report to this mandatory pre-service, 1 week pre-service. It's mandatory. And I'm thinking, wait a second, that's not what my contract says. But, you know, I said, okay, I'm going to report to this. Once we reported to that, we were called in to another meeting at our own campus. At that time, and it was let me make the distinction that it was not a mandatory meeting that we had to go to on campus, but it was strongly recommended that you came. When we came to that, and of course, I'm going to come because I don't want to be left out of any information that's being disseminated. Mm-hmm. Our then principal, who only was principal for another 3 hours after that particular meeting, before they were promoted to another position, said, there are a lot of things happening. This is going to be a good change. You will not have to work extra hours without pay. If you want to, it's going to be voluntary. We will have support staff who's going to do that. And the exact opposite it was said. And let me tell you what one of the buzzwords was, and you can tell me if this is the same at your campus. One of the buzzwords was this: it's a non-negotiable.
Yes.
That's what was said. It's a non-negotiable. And my problem was this, and with the teachers union that I was a member of when I was with HISD, I said, wait a minute. I received nothing over the summer, no correspondence from my school over the summer saying that this was happening, when the other schools that were NES schools had already been selected. We were a NESA campus, which meant that someone had to opt us in. We were opted in without the teacher's knowledge at all. Wow. And it was literally 2 days before the end of the transfer period where you could transfer without penalty. So on the 11th of July, we got a letter saying we were going to be NESA. On the 14th of July was the end of that was at 5:10 p.m. On the 14th of July, that was the end of the transfer period. So here's the here's the issue with that. It was on a Wednesday. Okay. That's not 24 hours. It's not 72 hours. That's 8 hours, because you're talking about a work day. Okay. You're talking about a business day. So that means anyone at my school who was going to elect not to come back and be a part of that, which should have been our choice, we were given from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on that Thursday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on that Friday. So it may have been a Tuesday, but we had 24 hours total in which to seek out another position, try to secure an interview and be hired, where everyone else who was in the NES program that was initially set up, they had at least 3 weeks. They knew what was going on. So they wanted to leave. So we were literally in a position where we were pigeonholed. We couldn't do anything. And don't think for a minute that I don't think that was intentional. I think it was intentional, because it was not meant for us to be able to leave, because you would have had a mass exodus. You would have. But to not give a professional the option of saying, this is how things are going to change from what you are accustomed to, and give me the right to exit, that was an issue that I had. My second one was this, Michelle. When I saw, you know, when I saw my colleagues to the left and to the right of me in my classroom during a school day in front of their students, escorted out of their classroom with a security guard and an administrator, and saying, We want you to come with us and leave now and only take your purse. There are students in the hallway. There are people in the classroom. The kids are going, what's happening? That's the kind of thing that's meant to be a dehumanizing thing.
That wasn't
necessary. So a culture of intimidation is not something that is foreign to this particular regime. Would you agree with that?
I would agree, because before he actually stepped foot into Houston ISD,
yes,
on our campuses, I did my homework on Mr. Miles.
Me too.
PSTA has had dealings with him prior to. I've had some of his former employees reached out to me via our union's Facebook page and told us that he uses and abuses his staff, and that he doesn't care about politics. He's business, and make no mistake, HISD is being used as proof of concept. And that's a business term where you take whatever your idea is and test it. This NES model has not even been tested for high school. It's never been done in high school. And nothing that he is doing has been, it's not even his.
It doesn't have a proven track record.
Right, it doesn't. Now, yeah. From what I was told, that NES model came from an educator in New York. That's what I was told. Now, I do know those MRS strategies, which I filed a complaint with the U.S. Department, the Copyright Office, because they're he's setting HISD up for failure.
Right.
Filed a complaint with the U.S. Copyright Office because they will not address the fact that those multiple response strategies,
right,
are copyrighted strategies from other programs. He won't acknowledge it. So, and that's fine. I'm not asking him to acknowledge it. I just went through the appropriate channels to make sure that it's on record. So if there is any adverse action, you can't say that you weren't warned. I filed a complaint, and I have numerous emails to him and the board of managers. And honestly, that was one of the issues that I raised with him about you all being stuck in those classrooms. I was one that at the board meeting,
right,
you know, he made the comment, oh, well, if the teachers don't want to be here, they can leave. So at the board meeting, I said, yeah, you made a comment, but let them out of their contract.
That's right.
And that was how teachers were able to leave without being sanctioned. That was something, right, because you can't say that and then you don't give them out.
That's right.
And so the teachers were able to leave, which is a good thing. I do believe that there will be some good come out, but we're going to have a lot,
absolutely,
of losses, and
absolutely,
people are going to have to choose on which side of history.
That's right.
Now, this is history making.
That's right.
That they're going to show up on. And some, right, people, my issue that I'm having with educators, because it's going to divide us, and I don't have,
yes,
a problem with that division.
Right. Right.
Because some educators are looking at the money, and the money's not going to last. I told them it's going to,
that's right,
eventually turn into monopoly money, because the Chronicle already put an article about the kids are leaving.
And also, Michelle, let me just put this in. I looked at something that you all posted in your group not too long ago, and I'm going to say this was last week, but it said that those salaries are not promised to be ongoing. It states that.
Yep.
So people who are leaving their jobs and coming over for that, first of all, let me say this, Michelle, and you can let me know whether you concur with this or not. You cannot treat the education model like a business model. And let me tell you why that is. Because in education, that is going to be a profession that people come to, and the ones that stay are truly cut from that cloth, because many come, not many stay.
Absolutely. And
that's right. And
he really thinks that because he says, And I guess his prediction ring says something.
I heard about the prediction ring. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I can say that he's of this opinion that we're going to have a great school system and all of these things. So I saw on HISD's social media page that they're building out this budget. I want to see this budget deficit, because what they're doing is firing people.
Right.
They are fired. Like, it's not in the press because a lot of people are not coming forward. But
right.
He is getting rid of a lot of people because we are upside down in our budget. And we don't know how much, because they are not keeping up with the kids that are leaving. A lot of those NES schools are under enrolled.
Right.
So much so that I put in a public information request. I feel like HISD is stalling because they don't want to give me the numbers. Right. I've been waiting on that for about 2 months now. So we are under enrolled. He's like Forestbrook. Forestbrook is one of my old campuses. I worked there for 2 years.
Right.
They are under enrolled and they have more than 100 people on staff. And you only got 400 kids? Really?
Yeah.
And he's taking money. Like, I found out, I was told that he's making the non-NES schools pay for half of their textbooks. I was like, that is unheard of.
What do you mean textbooks? Because we didn't have one textbook in our school anymore. Those were collected.
So we're talking about the he calls them curriculum, and it's not curriculum. Those are textbooks. So like Eureka, Carnegie, all of those, he's forcing the non-NES schools to pay for that. How are they going to survive? And it's really strong arming the schools that don't want to opt in. It's really putting them at a disadvantage, because what you're going to have to do is lose a teacher, lose some type of service.
Right.
And that's not right when you're trying to fund all of this NES stuff, and you're not going to, and you know, like even in the video that was dropped, he said, who don't think I'm not going to be here next year? My thing is, that is a dead giveaway, saying that I'm not going to be here next
year.
That's
right.
For the whole year. So
right.
Who would bring that up? And those are some of the things that I bring to light.
Right.
And I'm not afraid to say it. He has a history of doing these things, not just two times.
And leaving it in turmoil and leaving turmoil behind. And Michelle, let me say this. Let me go back to this point about you cannot treat the education model like a corporate model, simply because in corporate America, you're going to have people who are competing for those positions, recent graduates competing. In our profession, you don't have that, simply because people come in, but they don't stay, because I'm not saying that they don't have what it takes, but they decide that I could do something else that's not going to be nearly as taxing, nearly as strenuous, nearly as stressful, and they leave before 5 years, okay? So when you have a situation where your staff who is there is a commodity, generally your teachers who have been there 5 years plus, they are there because they have made the choice to be there. They've made the choice to stay. So when you come in and attempt to strong arm them and say, well, you can do this or else, many times they can say, well, they're hiring right over here. Your teachers are your commodity. And then you end up with a situation where you have human resources paperwork go out that says we're hiring, and all you have to do is be enrolled in college and you can be hired on to be in the classroom in HISD with no certification and no college degree. What's going on with that?
So, and that you're right. One of my siblings works for corporate, and you can't. Teaching is on the job training. I am an education major. I went to school for education.
Yes.
So it's different. And I'm just saying, you can't treat it like that, because the first year a teacher that is teaching, he or she is just like, okay, what do I do?
That's right.
The next year, you know what not to do, so you're a little bit better. And the third year, hopefully you can say, okay, I know what to do. I know what to teach. if you're in the same subject and grade level.
That's right.
As we know, some of my members have said, like, they are being pulled out of their own content to go to a new content.
That's right.
Like, it's some craziness going on. And what I warned a lot of these principals about what was to come.
Right.
I said he's not going to keep the principles. I told them that. And the reason why I said that is because one of his former employees told me that he took over a school, which is in Ector County, Odessa, Texas.
Right.
And there was a veteran principal that had been with the district for a long time, was beloved and all of that. He
right.
let her stay. And then a couple of months later, let her start the school up just like he's doing with these principals.
Yes.
And got rid of her. And guess right. who replaced her?
Who's that?
Sandy Massey. So that's what I was told. So I knew that he was going to
get rid of all
of those veteran principals.
Right.
And the ones who are actually laying down and rolling over saying, oh, scratch my tummy. Yeah. He's going to get rid of them too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
May I just jump in?
Yes. Kim is a concerned community member. She's a taxpayer.
Member. I taught. I was a substitute teacher for one semester. And after that, I was like, nope, I'm not cut out for this. And that is one of the reasons that I have been looking at this with such interest, because I have seen, just via my sister, the kind of things that have been happening. Now, what you just said as far as comparing comparing teaching
to
corporate America, I have never seen one major corporation in this country start off with, let's just say, 2,000 unfilled positions every year.
Right.
So, I mean, if, you know, if that is what's happening every 6 months with HISD, probably not other school districts, because they're getting the HISD teachers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and they're loving it. Let me tell you.
Exactly.
They are having a field day. I was told that they were terminating one of the teachers, and the school district that was hiring the teacher said, can they just release you now? Because can you start next week?
Right.
Like, I want teachers to know you're not going to be without a job.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you this. I got a brother who works in corporate. I think he's been fired maybe 3 times. He's a corporate executive. They get fired all the time.
Of course.
That's what I was telling him. I was like, teachers have this, I'm perfect. Like, get out of that mentality.
Right.
At the end of the day, this is not an HISD issue. This is a national issue.
Yes, it is.
I said it's happening everywhere. We just don't hear about it. We've been in a bubble.
Right.
But this is not something that is just happening here. Teachers are going to have to make a decision at the end of the day.
Yes.
When he came to HISD, I sent an email to our state president, and I told her I was in 100%. Regardless of what happened, regardless.
Right.
And that meant whatever. But what I will not be, and this is about our rights, and I tell the membership all the time, your rights are not a bargaining chip.
That's right.
You trying to silence me will never happen.
That's right.
And you moving me to the bus barn, that's fine. But what I told Channel 13 is leave my campus alone and leave my principal alone. Because they were dragging the schools, our school, into something that had nothing to do with them. And I know how to fight for me, but I'm not going to drag children, staff, right, and a principal who doesn't have anything to do with that. But I have decided, and teachers have to, and community members, all of us,
yes,
have to decide, what are we going to do as we move forward? Because it's going to be losses. And I tell people all the time, there's going to be losses, but we won't win every battle. But right, our goal is to win the war.
That's right. And Michelle, here's the thing. People need to know that this too shall pass. But when it does, and And as it does, we have got to be come forth even stronger with a concrete plan in place so that we don't find ourselves in this position again.
Right. And that is the point. And here's what we have to do understand is TEA, as they say, they hoodwinked and bamboozled the west side of Houston because they came in under the cloak of darkness. And this is what people have told me, and I've heard it multiple times. Oh, your side of town is not going to be touched. Now, that's a problem in itself because we're an ecosystem. And I keep telling people, I say, y'all better listen to Martin Luther King because he said, an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
That's right.
And that's what happened to the west side of Houston.
They were sucked in.
Yeah. Right. They thought it was okay. Oh, maybe the little black children and Hispanic kids need this. No, they don't need it. They need the same education that your child needs.
That's right.
They need the same libraries that your children need.
That's right.
So now you know it. You saw it when he released those names. And now you know what side of the fence you're on.
Now,
the
Michelle,
same one as we are.
That's right. And let me, yes. And let me say this. Can you go ahead and tell, for the people who are not aware, tell people exactly what was released. It was absolutely mind blowing that this would be done, even in a closed meeting where other people other than you and your immediate supervisor would see this. But let people know what was released, those 117 names. What was that about?
So what was released was they had this MOY screener of where you were middle of the year, which is fine. We have middle of the year conferences. Right. But what is not okay is when you put everybody's name on an email. See, to me, that sent public humiliation.
That's what that's meant to be. It's public
because
humiliation.
Blind copy is a thing.
Right.
So, you know, he's saying that, I'm going to have an investigation. It ain't going to be no investigation.
No.
Because
no. From that was
where
meant
I
to be
said,
intimidating.
It was done intentionally.
Yes.
And everybody, it was a form of public humiliation.
And it was intended to be.
What I had an issue with is they moved principals around to take care of other campuses where principals had been removed.
Right.
I know that for a fact. So how do you rate somebody low when you took them from their original campus to a campus that was in disarray and then expect them to be proficient?
And Michelle, here's the thing. When I looked at that list, I thought very long about showing that list and plan that video, that audio, you know, on the show tonight. But I refrained from doing that. I'm not saying that I won't do that in the future, because that's public record. I mean, that's been on on the news. But when I looked at that list, when Michelle says that they decided to come for everyone, because if you were not a proponent and if you decided not to kiss the ring, your name ended up on the list. So we have schools like Carnegie Vanguard, which was one of the, what was it, the seven top schools in the nation, Michelle, that was on the list of having a principal that was not proficient. We had Meyerland Performing Arts, High School for Performing and Visual Arts. All of these principals were on the elite schools who are nationally recognized. Those principals' names were on the list.
Because they were allowing teachers to actually teach. And here's the thing. Nothing that he's doing is research based.
Right.
You have never heard him say we research evidence based. I've seen this at a high performing urban school because there are some high performing urban areas.
Yes.
I know a couple of principals like Salome L. He is at a high performing urban charter school. And there are people out there that are. They have success with, but a lot of their things are research based.
Right.
And he doesn't talk about the experience because research says the more experience teacher has, the higher the achievement it is with the students.
Absolutely.
That has been proven, but he's under this guise and this propaganda about, oh, experience doesn't matter, and it actually does.
Absolutely, it does, because everything that happens in the classroom is not just what happens on that text, in that text or that piece of paper. But Michelle, we are at the time where we're going to have to wrap it up. I'm so sorry that we got started late, because I could talk about this all day. But let me ask you this. If people or teachers who may be watching this would like to reach out to you about becoming a member of the union, if they would like to reach out to you to see how they could organize, you know, to form some strength and solidarity on their campuses, or if community members would like to reach out and become involved in being part of the solution, how would they reach out to you?
You can, the easiest way is HoustonEducationAssociation@gmail.com.
Okay.
You can message me on Facebook. That's how most people get in contact with me. And I'm okay with that. One of our strategic goals for the union is to build coalition. We are in a different time where unions have to take on a different position. I'm right now, we have become part of the Houston Justice Coalition. We're working with one of the LULAC councils. So we're building a coalition of people. We need parents. We need churches to partner with us so that we can get HISD back to where it was.
That's right.
But you can reach me on Facebook, either on our Facebook page, Houston Education Association, on Twitter, formerly Twitter, X, I hate saying that. But but I want to thank you for having me and talking about this most important topic, because our children's education for generations is at stake.
And I'm going to say, Michelle, just for the record, this is going to be a part one. We're going to get you back in here, because this is a story that we've got to follow. But Michelle Williams, I want to thank you so much for coming in today. Thank you so much, Kim, for the teachers. I know that those are teachers who were there. Thank you, Erica. Thank you, Ebby. Thank you, Candace, for tuning in. Teachers, continue to leave your comments, because I answer all comments, and we'll make sure that we get all of Michelle's information into the comment so that you can connect with her. But stay tuned for part two. Thank you so much, Michelle Williams. Mm-hmm. And Kim, as we say every week, we can do it.
We can do
See you later.